The word of God which engages us on this day is taken from the gospel lesson, the last two verses as read previously. He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, it is by definition not the result of physical, demonstrable evidence. It is defined in Scripture as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It is, of course, faith. And in our gospel lesson for today, Jesus describes the disciples as men of little faith, a phrase that is used only five times in the New Testament, but every time it is used as a reference to these disciples. Now, one would have thought that all that the disciples had seen prior to our text concerning Jesus would have given them a great deal of assurance and conviction concerning him. For example, Matthew, in the previous verses, describes for us how Jesus came to Peter's mother-in-law's house and there merely touched her hand, and the fever with which she had been afflicted left her immediately. Matthew goes on to describe how that same night, many who were possessed with demons came to Christ, and he cast out these demons with but a word and healed all of their illnesses and diseases. One would have thought that seeing all these things prior to our text would have given the disciples a great deal of assurance and conviction concerning the things that were unseen related to Jesus Christ. But in our text, it is what is seen by the disciples that causes the problem. Matthew records how early in the evening, Jesus, his disciples, and apparently others, boarded a boat in order to cross the Sea of Galilee. It was the violent storm that took place on that water, the storm through which they feared that they would lose their lives, that caused them to stumble when it came to their assurance and their conviction of God's care and providing for them, even as Jesus was right there in the boat with them. Now, storms such as this on the Sea of Galilee are not unusual. The Sea of Galilee sits 680 feet below sea level and is bordered by mountains and high hills, the result of which is that when changes in temperature and air pressure occur, violent winds are sent rushing through the valleys and gorges that separate these mountains and hills as if they were passing through a funnel. And when these violent winds approach and touch the waters on the surface of the Sea of Galilee, there is a tremendous upheaval that takes place. And to make matters worse, these storms can appear with little or no warning. Such was the case for Jesus and the disciples. And it's one thing for us to sit here this morning in the calm surroundings of a dry chapel and consider this text. It's quite another to be in that boat that night with Jesus and the disciples. For this was no small storm. Matthew uses the same word to describe this storm that is used throughout the scriptures to describe an earthquake. And furthermore, he talks in describing the storm as one that the waves itself actually hid the boat, meaning that when the boat went down into the deep troughs of the waves, the walls of water on its sides were so tall that the boat was hidden. And you'll recall that it was early evening when they left, and what little light there probably was at that time was probably taken away by the storm. And so there they are, in the boat with Jesus, in the dark, listing back and forth, walls of water on all sides, filled with anything but an assurance of things hoped for and a conviction of things not seen. For what they were seeing was causing them to stumble in their assurance and their conviction. But what they would see next would absolutely amaze them. Matthew records how Jesus rises and speaks to the winds and the waves, and they obey him. And as Matthew describes, there is a complete calm over the waters. Men of little faith, he describes them. Was Jesus, in describing them in this way, referring to the fact that they failed to trust in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to keep them safe at this perilous time? Was he referring to the fact that they failed to trust in him, the one who was right there in the boat with them to keep them safe at this time, even after all they had seen and heard prior to this? Probably both. Men of little faith, he calls them. And even though the disciples at this point were not giving the right answer, at least they were asking the right question, the epiphany question, if you will. What kind of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? For you see, throughout the Old Testament, control of the winds and the seas is ascribed to God alone. In the book of Exodus, it is God alone who gains the glory and the thanks and the praise for the parting of the Red Sea so that his people, the Israelites, could go through on dry ground and then bringing that water crashing down on the pursuing Egyptian armies, thus freeing and releasing his people. In Psalm 107, the psalmist talks about those who were at peril at sea in a situation very similar to our text for today, and describes how they call out to God, and it is God alone who calms the waters and delivers them from their distress. They may not yet be confessing the right answer, but at least they were asking the question to which they could not yet see the right answer. And this boat ride with Jesus was just a sampling of what those disciples would see in the future. They would see other things that would cause them even greater peril in terms of their faith and cause them once again to respond as men of little faith. For when he is arrested, they abandon him. And when he is crucified, they cower in fear behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. Men of little faith, robbed of the assurance and the conviction of what they could not see. Unseen by them was the fact that the death of Jesus Christ was indeed payment in full for the sins of the world. Unseen by them was the blood of this Lamb of God shed for the forgiveness of the sins of the entire world. Unseen by them was the fact that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. But in the future, they would see clearly when the risen and triumphant Christ would in fact appear to them and sharpen their spiritual vision, so to speak. He would recount for them, going through the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, how everything written about him must be fulfilled, how it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise again on the third day, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins be preached throughout all the nations, beginning with Jerusalem. And the result would be that these men of little faith, who feared for their very lives on that boat that night on the Sea of Galilee, would be transformed into men who would later willingly lay down their lives rather than deny that the one in the boat with them that night was in fact the Son of God and the Savior of the world. What Christ would help them to see, what the Holy Spirit would later guide them to see, transformed these men from men of little faith to men of deep assurance and conviction about things unseen. And yet, the Christian faith is just that, a faith. We, like the disciples born spiritually blind, need God to open our eyes so that we can see Him clearly, and that's precisely what He has done for us in water and the Word, opening our eyes to see Him as something much more than a mere example, much more than a mere teacher, much more than a mere divine deliverer from physical peril, but in fact, our Savior and the Savior of the world. In a few moments, with eyes wide open, we come forward at His invitation to receive what is seen, namely bread and wine, but also with the assurance and the conviction that we also receive what is unseen, body and blood and the forgiveness of sin. And yet there will still be those times when we, like the disciples, are moved by what we see to stumble in our sense of assurance and conviction. It may happen for us. It may happen for friends. It may certainly happen in the lives of those that we may serve in the future as pastors. When a child is stricken with leukemia and dies, when a mother with three small children is killed in an auto accident and taken from them, or perhaps it's the conduct of someone we thought was a friend and a friend in Christ on top of that. Just like the disciples, we can't expect that all the effects of living in a sin-filled world, carrying around with us the old sinful nature and being dogged at every juncture by the father of lies and deceit, is somehow going to be suspended for us because we are traveling with Jesus. And yet, we are traveling with Jesus. And although at times we might be afraid and bewildered and confused by what we see around us, nonetheless, we have been given an assurance and a conviction that the same one who brought the peace and the calm on the Sea of Galilee that night has brought an even greater peace, a peace between God and us, a peace which only He can give, a peace that exists even in the midst of the turmoil and trouble of this world. May God grant us such spiritual vision and a faith that reaches out to Him in every time of peril and trouble, a faith that truly can be described as the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen. Amen.